There we go.
You're welcome. You need a bathroom break or anything like that?
No, I'm good. I'm good. We, it's really a fun thing to, you know, you get, I've been coaching those guys for a couple of years now. And,
okay.
And a lot of times we'll get into a subject and they just can't stop, you know, they just, well, that's a big insurance team and they're really wonderful. Their primary business is insurance, but they have an asset management division. They do business with a lot of very wealthy people.
Okay.
And we were going through the org chart today and who does what. You know, and the pretty obvious thing comes out that they're 100% dependent on the senior guy for new business. And they need to diversify. They need to diversify their risk.
Yeah.
I said, if you get disabled, what the hell's going to happen 2 years from now? You know, you got a great team servicing, and you wouldn't believe the amount of staff he has. I mean, you got
so how much do they have in assets, and what kind of revenue are they doing?
Well, they're big. They're a big producing team, but it comes mostly from life insurance.
Wow.
So they'll do like $5 million, but they but it's mostly big life insurance cases. And
it's lumpy stuff.
Yeah, people with $100 million, you know, in net worth and all tied up in real estate and stuff like that. So it's a different model than we use.
Right. But
I mean, there are seven people on his team servicing him. So it's so different from what we do.
And he's the guy.
But he's
the rainmaker.
He loves everybody on the team, but he needs another him. You know, he needs another partner.
That's interesting. Because that's kind of how I've had partners in the past, and I don't know if we talked about Will Finnerty over at UBS. Do you know that name? I can't remember if we talked about him.
No, I don't.
Right. He's in the private wealth group, and he's a big believer in that. He says, you know, I don't want another FA. I don't want a partner on my team. I want everybody working for me. Are you near your computer?
Yeah.
You can Google him. He's over at UBS. He's got a bunch of nice looking people on his team. Will Finnerty, pretty interesting guy. Unique dude. Finnert. But anyway, the point is, I try his model. I can kind of understand that. You see him there?
I mean, I can look him up. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah. Anyway, it's it's a nice looking team. That's what I mean if you pull them up. But and everyone else underneath him is client service or wealth strategist or planning or something like that. But I definitely have thought at times, and I don't know if my other two guys are going to get on this one, you know, they're CAs. Let me see. Chris, are you there? Or Paul? I think I'm going to leave them off for this one. Anyway, but I've thought, you know, I need a junior guy to kind of come in to meetings and be like, you know, almost an analyst type person. But also they could, you know, run the show when I'm not around. Definitely thought about that. And I've actually talked to a guy at a bank. In fact, he emailed me today. He's got a CFA. He used to be here at Wells as an investment strategist in the private bank, and he and I were just kind of shooting the breeze the other day, and I said, do you ever get tired of... I was going to give him a referral for a nonprofit board I'm on, and I said, he's a commercial lender at a bank now. And I said, do you ever get tired of, you know, or wish you were in the business again? He said, well, I kind of. I said, you have a CFA, right? He said, yeah. And that's pretty valuable. I mean, a CFA carries a lot of weight with ultra-high net worth people, right? I mean, what's your opinion of that?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, that is a hard test. That's not,
That's like almost a law degree to me.
Right. That's 3 years, and, most people don't bang them all out at once. It usually takes
five years for
people to get that.
Yeah.
So anyway, of course it costs money, right, to do something like that, but, what's the upside? In the meantime, I'll keep working. So what's your opinion of bolting something like that on? How do you coach people on kind of the time frame for that, or what's your opinion?
Well, we do what we call a gap analysis. And
okay.
The gap analysis says, okay, let's build the 5-star model, okay?
Yep.
And see where the holes are.
Right.
See where the gaps are.
Yep.
And then we'll try and fill the gaps.
Okay.
We want to fill the gaps with the most highly qualified people we can.
Yep.
And that have, that fit our model,
mm-hmm.
that we like and trust,
mm-hmm.
that are givers, not takers,
mm-hmm.
And then you make a business decision to move forward. And so you kind of build out a business plan based on that gap analysis. So it's built around the 5-star model, and that's very helpful. So we went over the 5-star model the last time. So you kind of look at it and say, okay, Rob, I'm just not that strong at planning, or I'm just not that strong with the investment process, or I'm just not that strong with the service part, or whatever.
Right.
And then you not only do you try and make your team better at those things, but you also say, our team is never going to be the planners that we could be if we had a CFA on our team.
Yep.
And therefore, that is worth it. And people, teams have power. I always say teams never go to lunch. Teams never take a vacation. So you're always, teams never retire. So people are more comfortable turning their money over to a team because there's always somebody there.
Yeah.
Looking after them. They're not dependent on one person.
Right.
That's true.
That's true, for sure.
And they're a pain, and it's like getting married, It's horrible in the sense of, it's so much easier to be single, but you never have kids, you never have grandchildren, you've never really lived, in the sense of done everything and hit all the, had the fun that you can have from being married, And
right.
I think the same thing is true of teams. You're going to have terrible trouble. You're going to break up occasionally, but on the other hand, you're going to have all the benefits of a team. If you get the right person, it's the same as marriage. You got to get the right person.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I had a great partner for years, but he, this is when we first, came over to Wachovia and Wachovia blew up and then he had some cool things happen in his family where he really didn't have to work anymore. And he went, back to UBS to work a couple of days a week and I didn't work anymore at all. But it's finding that person that can complete your sentences in the meetings, right? And it just flows naturally.
Right.
And I know what you mean.
And they like them. I mean, they're good friends. So you really want to become friends first,
Right.
And keep in mind this concept of giving. It made life so much easier for me when I read that book, Give and Take. Because you understand that there are people that are givers, people that are takers, and people that are masters.
Yeah.
And if you get a,
Matchers?
Yeah. And that's a person that will work just as hard as you work. They won't work any harder.
Okay. Okay.
They'll give you a referral if you give them one. You know, it's always
good
fat. It's never just, you know how when you go out to dinner with some people, everybody throws their card in the middle, you know, and nobody worries. And you go out to dinner with some other people and they're like, wait a minute, I only had a salad, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I know exactly what you're saying. Now, let me ask you a question. So, you sound like you've got good principles, and are you religious?
Well, I am. Yeah, I've got a foundation that we support, a family foundation we've had for 20 years. So, you know, we believe in servant leadership. We believe in putting other people first.
Yeah,
I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in that.
Great.
You know that I'm going to go to heaven, and but my time on earth is to be spent helping people and giving and sharing.
Yeah, well, I'm a Christian too. My family is. I mean, we're not perfect, of course, but I sense that. So I'm glad to hear that. Not that would have made or changed anything about the way I felt about you, but that's even better, right?
Well, I think that it just brings comfort and peace to me.
Absolutely.
In the life of pure desperation. Otherwise, you know, spend your whole time trying to get out of something that you're never going to get out of. You know.
Well, that's right. You know, and thank goodness for eternity. I've got a 13-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. Same wife. We just took a long break from having kids, but. Yeah, tell them there's three words you need to keep in mind. Let's focus on eternity. But anyway, no, that's good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what's happened here. I've spent a lot of time in the past couple of days over the weekend and this morning. An advisor left, so I've got some accounts. Well, two things have happened. I don't know if I told you, but. I got an email back from the guy that I presented to, the $3.5
million. Yep.
Did I tell you about him? And he emailed me back, and you know, I don't want to count the chickens to the hatch, but he said he's going to meet with this other guy and let him know he's moving the account. So, knocking with it, that happens.
Well, listen, one of the things you can do is do that 90-day free look.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, and you can also use a technique called immunization. Okay.
So is this for which group of people? We're talking about the people that I'm inheriting.
No. Yes, that too. But for the people that let's say a guy says, you know, I've had this other FA forever, you know, it's my fraternity, so I'm really reluctant to move, and you finally convince him to move, right?
Yes.
And then here's what you do. You immunize him, okay, because what's going to happen when he goes back and tells that FA he's going to move?
You might have a problem with him. You know, you might come back and say, I've changed my mind.
Right. That's what he's going to possibly say to you. See? So
yeah.
The other FA is going to do everything possible to keep it. So when you say, look, I'm going to give you financial planning, 1242, rapid response to your problem. And then he goes back to that guy and he tells him, hey, this new guy is going to give me financial planning, 1242, rapid response. So I'm going to move. What does the other guy say?
Well, we can do that. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
We can do that.
And I'm cutting his fees by like 10 basis points. He was paying like 110 or something. I'm going to do it for 90 on $3.5 million. That's still good money.
Yeah. Right. So here's what you do. You tell him, you say to him, okay, so this is what's going to happen.
Mm.
You're going to go back and tell him hey, I'm going to move to this new guy because he's going to give me financial planning, 1242, and rapid response. Your old FA is going to say, oh, I can do that, and here's what you say. Then why didn't you do it in the first place?
Right. Yep.
Right?
Yep. Good point.
And then what happens? And then the guy goes, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And your guy goes, I'm signing the papers today. Goodbye.
Yep.
And he calls you back, and he calls you back and says, you know what? He said exactly what you said he'd say. How did you know that?
See? I like it. Let me write that down. Well, this is being recorded. I'll go back and listen to it. No, that's good stuff. That's called the immunization.
Right. Immunization technique. And it's really important. In fact, I would call him and tell him that now if he hasn't already talked to this guy.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. I think he was traveling to Europe, but I need to look it up. And yeah, it's a good point. Figure out when he's going.
Right. And the other thing is when they get on the fence and you can't, what?
10 seconds.
All right. Hang on 1 sec.
Go ahead. Take time. It's fine.
Okay. Hello? Hey. Okay. Yep. Great. Yep. 100%. Yes, sir. Excellent. Thanks, bye. Sorry.
No problem.
Board business for the, I'm on a board for our community.
Oh, nice. In your, like your HOA type thing?
Yeah, we're called North Bay. I'm in Boca Grande, an island, south of Sarasota, north of Naples, and we're in a village called Boca Bay, and we're North Bay, which is our homeowners association subsection.
Okay.
Anyway,
those are always fun.
But I do it because you gotta have your turn, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, my parents live in North Carolina half a year, and they're you know definitely retired. They're 79, but you know that they're in a country club community in Highlands, North Carolina. You ever been, you know where Highlands, North Carolina is? You know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, I know, I don't know it, but I know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, I mean, it's a very social part of their life, right? Is being involved in the club, you know, board of the, you know, club and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's, I'm sure the same way where you are in Florida. I mean, that's a big deal, a big connecting point for you, I'm sure, right?
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's great. All right, so let's go back to the, that's a good technique for the guy that's, you know, made up his mind. He says yes, and he's going to move. So the other guys, when an FA leaves, okay, the key element,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'll just read you this email from Frank. Well, I lost it. Continue on, I'll come back to him. So the other guy's what?
Okay, so you have a number of clients that have been reassigned to you,
yes,
and the FA has left, okay?
Yes.
And the probabilities of keeping them are pretty low, okay?
Yes. Yes.
So what you want is you want to actually have them, in the old days what we call would be to make a transaction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would say don't consider that you own the client unless they listen to you and they make a transaction. In your case, I would suggest that you look at what they've done and then make a minor suggestion.
Okay.
You will determine whether or not they're going to stay by whether or not they say yes or not.
Okay.
So you need to get a yes out of them.
Right.
Some kind of yes. They're going to do a financial plan with you. They're going to reallocate some money to a different money manager.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sell this ETF and buy this ETF.
Mm-hmm.
If they do those things, your probabilities go from probably 20% chance of keeping them to an 80% chance of keeping them.
What about fees? So
forget about fees.
Don't
negotiate on fees.
Okay.
Win their hearts and minds. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Fees diminishes your, think about it. When you have a higher minimum, the clients think you're better, right?
Yep.
When you charge more, they think you're better.
Yep.
When you're willing to take less, they think you're worse.
That's true.
Okay? So don't play that game. If you can't keep them on your value, don't keep them. Now, what you can do is set them all up immediately for financial planning, 1242, and rapid response to their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you teach them Supernova. Teach them what we do and why it's mm-hmm. different, why this is going to be better. And you're not going to charge them any more. But you are going to charge them what they were paying.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. Now, the team supervisor had discretion on a lot of these accounts. So I'm going to have to get them to sign new paperwork to remove them from that. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm not a discretionary guy.
Ooh, that's not good. What's
not
it
good
gonna
at
take
all.
To get, what, yeah, what's it going to take to have you be discretionary?
For me to become discretionary, it's in months.
Okay, you want to get that. You want to get that entitlement.
Yep.
Okay. How many accounts are involved here?
Eight households.
Eight households, and what? The average net worth, do they meet your minimum?
Yeah, they do. Actually, eight households. Everything's above a million. I've had two people, one for a million, and another one, I thought he was higher than that. Total assets. Oh, sorry. Okay. One is a million, and 1.1 and 1.2. I've got two of them staying so far.
Okay.
This is not bad. You got two, you know, one's 13,000 a year and the other one's about nine, so it works.
Have you got to see them?
Have not, and setting up meetings.
Yeah, you want to try and see every one of them. If you don't see them, you're not going to keep them. If they don't adjust and sign the papers or do a transaction, you're not going to keep them. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So just know, don't fool yourself into thinking it's okay.
Right.
You got it. Yeah, that's a joke. Okay, don't get sucked into that. All these efforts.
Yeah, they have to sign papers actually to remove discretion for me to keep them anyway, so that would be a strong indication, right?
Right, right. Can you keep their asset allocation similar, or do you have to sell everything?
No, we can keep it similar, very similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he do a good job?
He did. He's a good FA, for sure. Very good FA. And I like him. He's a good guy. Very good guy.
Good.
Yeah.
In selling, in selling, Howard, it's very important to acknowledge the fact that what the person did before was good.
Okay, yep.
All right, so, you know, if somebody comes in and kind of trade in their car, it's very important to you as a salesman that you acknowledge that that car is wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay? And that, because people have a very strong desire to be right. And when you tell them that the car they bought before was a really good decision, no matter what kind of a wreck it was, it is now, at the time they bought it was a really good decision. Okay?
Yeah.
That makes them like you. Okay? And that's the most important thing at the beginning of any relationship, is you want them to get to like you.
Yes.
Okay? Okay?
Indeed.
So making them feel good about themselves makes them like you.
Yeah.
So giving them a chance to talk is really important, and you listen, and making them feel as though they're smart and they were right. Now, just like the car, at the time it was a good decision. Today, of course, you wouldn't do that. But what you know today, you can make a better decision. So the portfolio that they had was a good portfolio at the time. Okay? But things have changed. Okay?
Yep.
And this is what you're recommending now. This is a more modern approach to it. Meaning, you know, it's interesting. People buy, you know why people are buying new cars today? Do you know why people are buying new cars today?
Kelly.
It's because safety.
Oh, yes. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, especially my wife is looking at a new SUV soon, and that's all about her safety ratings. Of course, the safest car on the road is the Mercedes, and I'm like, okay, so that one's 80, and we've got an Acura, so that's the safest car now, huh? Okay.
Well, it's interesting, because, like, I was buying for my daughter and my granddaughter. I wanted that, you know, when somebody came up on her left side in the blind spot, I wanted a car that would beep, right?
Yeah.
So I needed to make sure that she had all the bells and whistles safety-wise on her cars, and the old cars didn't have it, so I had to get her a new one.
Yep.
All right, so what you want to do in this case is, look, that portfolio was great at the time. But today, with the volatile markets that we have and we're going to have going forward, this is better for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Makes sense.
See, I was also a good salesman, Howard.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the, all right, so that's the spiel. Don't compete on fees. And make try to suggest some changes. Now, speaking of discretion, generally speaking, you're for that, right?
I'm for productivity increases, right?
Yep. Yes. So discretion makes things easier. Instead of calling 40 clients, you get it done.
And what about, you know, who gets in first and who gets in last, or who gets out first, who gets out last?
Yeah, agreed.
Very inefficient.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly. So here's my guy, my 3.5. I'll just read you the email. It says, Howard, sorry I'm finishing up a long week. Given that I'm 2 in the advisory services business, I'm a stickler for how the client interaction is orchestrated. That said, thank you for how you conducted my time in the office. It was perfect. The insurance and banking discussion was appropriately concise. You walked me through the salient points of the modeling, which I greatly prefer over a page one to page end treatment. The modeling results in our dialogue have given me the broad target picture I need. I'll meet with Fred about moving my account. We're headed to Europe on 2/27 for a presentation in Denmark and then meeting in London, period. If I don't get to Fred beforehand, I'll meet with him shortly after I return on March 10. Best, Frank. So he said, hey, he never said, he said I'm going to meet with him about moving my account. He didn't say I'm going to tell Fred I am moving my account. No, did he?
No. So he's vulnerable. Okay.
Right. He's got the windows. It's open.
Right. So you want to, your call is welcome home. Tell me how you feel. How was your trip? Tell me how you feel. What's going on? Now, and then he's, and have you met with Fred? Are you going to meet with Fred? Yes. Well, let me tell you something. This is, I'm not being presumptuous, but I've been in this situation a number of times, and this is probably the way it's going to go. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell him.
You like it.
And then when Fred says, I can do that, your client goes, Frank goes, why didn't you do it before? So you actually right. give him the words to say.
Yeah.
If you could do it, why didn't you do it?
Right.
This is what Howard does for every single client.
Yep.
Okay, and that's why I'm moving.
Okay. Right, we're at 1:30. You got just a couple more minutes?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
So, I'm meeting tomorrow with, well, I got two big meetings. One is a big institutional client, a 401k plan, and the other is a CEO. This is the guy that owns the medical device maker. It's a publicly traded company, but he's the founder. And he's a little bit of a, he likes to rib you a little bit, you know, he's, like you take in a financial plan to him and you know, it's all nice, pretty modeling and stuff like that, and he'll say, you ran this last night or something like that, you know, just to take that. He's okay though. But, so, he works, his clients are some of the world's best known and most high-priced spine surgeons. So he sells spinal surgical devices to doctors literally all over the world. He travels everywhere. And I've never gotten one referral from him, right? Not one. And he's in sales. So the minute I start, you know, pestering him about that, he's going to say, yeah, whatever. I know this deal. So what do you recommend? Obviously, I'm going to go over his and introduce him modeling. He's very hard to get on the phone. I'm going to have to push him into saying, look, markets the way they are, you know, I'm focusing my business on people like you, you know, people with the, you know, $10 to $100 million net worth like you. He's got, four-ish with me, but he's also got another $25 million of stock in his company. So tell me about what you think, how that meeting should roll, including me trying to get on, the docket to, and they do a big spinal surgery, like it's called the National Association of Spine Surgeons. It's like a trade show, right? What do you think about me going to that and pinging around? Or, you know, what are your thoughts there? And should that be kind of is that a possible niche or like I do with the yacht shows? Or what do you think?
All right. So how did you get him?
So I used to do a lot of corporate cash business, and literally back in 06-ish, I went and met with his company about investing some of his cash. He said, we've got that all tied up, but I don't get the love from Morgan Stanley. Can you take a look at my private wealth? And so that's when I brought him in, 06, 07-ish.
Have you developed any
kind of... It was a cold call originally.
Any kind of personal relationship with him?
Do I? Yeah. We actually, he's got two girls that are, you know, a little bit older, and we spent a lot of time together talking about life and stuff like that, and he's about my age actually. He's actually a year younger.
Okay.
Good guy. I've been to his home, you know, but we don't do social things together.
No social thing.
No, and I'm not sure I'd want to either.
Okay. Why not? You don't like him?
No, I do like him. I don't know. You know, I'm so I don't know what it is with me about that. I'm just hesitant to. I've always kind of kept that a little bit separate. I don't want there to be any intra-competitive stuff, and I don't know. It can get a little. I've done that a little bit in the past, and sometimes it can. I don't know. I don't know quite how to put my face. It's dicey. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Is that dicey?
You don't agree.
Is that dicey on your part?
Good question. Well, let's say for one thing, I mean, he lives on a 250 acres in a $3 million mansion. I mean, I'm not quote unquote in that league, and I know the group of people that he hangs out with are kind of the area, and I don't really want to go play that game, I guess is my point. And I don't want to be, I don't know. I've actually found that a lot of clients don't like getting too close. Does that make sense?
I think that's you.
It's me. You're probably right.
Yeah, I think that's you. And think about it. What if you did play in that group? Every one of those friends that you'd make could potentially be fabulous clients.
Well, no, that's true. That's true.
So generally, you've got to reexamine your own. How do I say this? But it's true. We have to look at our own self-image, okay?
Yep.
And see if our own opinion of ourselves is holding us back.
Yep.
And have we made up something about ourselves that isn't true? You know, are we telling ourselves a story about ourselves that isn't in our best interest?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just got done helping two wonderful ladies that were telling themselves some really crazy stuff about themselves.
And how
unready or unprepared or inability they had to be in our business and to grow. And we kind of replaced that disc with a new disc that was that said nice things about them that they could play over and over in their head.
Yeah.
It made a big difference. Made a big, big difference in their life.
Okay.
So think about the disc you're playing, you know, in your head. And
yeah.
That I'm not good enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this enough.
Yep.
Instead, replace it with one of, you know, I'm good enough, I'm truly smart enough. I can't hang with those people because they don't really give a shit how much money you have. They just want you to be an interesting person.
Yeah.
And you are you are an interesting person, and you have a lot to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, you know what people like that want? They want somebody to listen to them.
Yeah.
And to care about them.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they do.
Want
them to be genuine, not just see them as a number sign or a dollar sign.
No, see them as a person and somebody that needs love and attention and a personal note and an invitation to go someplace and, you know.
Yeah.
Wealthy people want access. They don't have time to plan things themselves. They like access. They want people that can help them get access to things and give them a good time and be nice to them.
So what do you think about his getting introductions from his clients?
You're going to have to be friends with him before that happens.
Okay.
Okay. You're a business associate now. You need to become a friend of his.
Okay.
He's got to believe he can trust you.
Yep.
Okay. And so you have to become a little more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that?
Well, open the kimono a little bit more. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. You gotta be a little more comfortable with yourself. That
mm-hmm.
you're okay, and that it doesn't matter what he thinks or they think.
Mm-hmm.
That you're good. You're good with yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can be friends with anybody.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I have no problem going to like Florida and hanging out with, you know, guys that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I guess there is some, you know, hesitation of, look, I live in a nice home. There's nothing, you know, $800,000 home. It's not on 250 acres. It's not, you know, I live in a nice golf course community. I don't have my own estate. So, I don't know. Do I really want to be too up in that social circle? I like my privacy. I like, you know, not having to, some of it's my wife. Social pressures in her just don't mix well at all, to be honest with you. That's a big issue. Like, she's not the type of person that I could just say, okay, throw a dress on, let's go hang out with the, you know, whatever. That ain't working. So that's its own issue there, if you will.
Then you're just going to have to do some things by yourself.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I do that. So I'm kind of used to that. When I go to these yacht shows and parties, and it's all, you know, just me. I mean, so, you know.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's, by the way, this would be a fabulous niche, okay?
Okay.
But you literally need to become friends with him before he will, so you got to find something in common.
Okay.
You know, some tennis, golf, don't do something you're no good at. If it's yachts that you like, then it's yachts. If it's whatever it is that you can find in common. If there's nothing in common, then don't count on them to become a center of influence. Okay.
In the meantime, I guess I could go troll the Nash show, his spine surgeon show, or what do you think about that?
Sure. I think it's great, you know. I think that's a gold mine. You need to be, you know, you want somebody to introduce you.
Yeah.
So if you can get an introduction, hold a cocktail party for his friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spring for a cocktail party, or, you know, do something where you get a chance to be officially there and at the same time meet the boys.
And what about, or maybe I should just bring that up tomorrow. I'll check out when the next show is, and maybe that's kind of the next avenue. Getting him on the phone and getting him to, you know, do things, you know, professionally or personally is impossible. I mean, I brought in the
he'll like 12:42. Okay, he'll like the appointments because he works by appointment all the time. People that are really, really busy like it, and you say, look, I'm going to keep it on the phone for 20 minutes, once a month, that's it.
Okay.
You know. And he'll love that. And here's what you say to them. Look, I'm your CFO. I'm your CFO for your family business. Okay? You're the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I report to you. I need a chance to report to you, though. We need to have a board meeting every month, and that's what we're going to have. So we're going to have an agenda, and then I'm going to send you an executive summary.
Okay.
You'll love that.
All right. I'm on it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Howard, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Have a great one. We'll talk next week.
Talk to you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.